Today, of course, when we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption, in many ways it parallels the Feast of Jesus' Ascension. And the Assumption is really, just like the Ascension, also a feast of the exaltation of Mary. That is to say, the glorification of Mary, that she is going to be taken up. It's simply not about not experiencing death. This feast is really about her being glorified and her, you know, being glorified in the image of her own son's glorification at his resurrection. So, of course, this idea of the Assumption, this idea of the exaltation, this idea of, you know, not experiencing death and corruption, this idea of being taken up into the heavenly state, into the heavenly status, into the heavenly glorification, you know, is really, in a way, theologically, being taken up, you know, into this, you know, kind of position of actually participating in building up in her special way the whole mystical body of Christ, which exists through her son's own risen body. So she's going to join, as it were, you know, that risen body of Christ, and she is going to be instrumental then in not only leading the church, but actually constituting the body of Christ. I mean, once you take the Assumption seriously in terms of its, you know, meaning of entering into kind of the whole mystery and economy of salvation through the mystical body of Christ, if, you know, the exaltation, the glorification, as it were, of Mary brought up to her divine status, you're going to get to the whole idea of, you know, the mediatrix of grace and co-redemptrix of the work of salvation. So, you know, the idea, all these Marian doctrines, they kind of flow from one another. They're extremely, you know, they fit together pieces of a puzzle. And I remember once, you know, when I was teaching at Georgetown, these kids, you know, they're very, you know, authentic. You know, but they would come up and they go, oh my gosh, you know, one more Marian doctrine, you know. I mean, the Immaculate Conception, this is pretty hard already, you know. And now you get into the Assumption, you know, and now it's the Mediatrix, now the Co-Redemptrix, whatever, you know. And I said, well, what's so difficult? What was the problem, you know? And, you know, it's so much, you know. I said, well, what's so much, you know? And they go, well, you know, there's just a lot here, you know, seems to be kind of added on. And I said, my solution is simply this. I just say, well, no, you know, just think of it this way. You believe, right, in the incarnation of Jesus, right? You believe that Jesus became incarnate. He became enfleshed. He literally takes the form of a man in the womb of Mary, but it's his divine sonship, right? His self-consciousness as the Son of the Father that is actually taking, you know, on flesh through Mary's body, right? You believe that? And of course you go, well, yeah, you know, of course, I believe in the incarnation. That's okay. Well, if you believe that, what's the problem with believing in the rest of it? Because it just flows, right, like a bunch of logical pieces. You know, I have no difficulty once you say something like that. Mary's body is already destined for exaltation. I mean, if you're going to take the sonship, right, you're going to take the literally the self-consciousness who is the son of the Father, and you're going to incarnate this divine self-consciousness in her body, she's already, as it were, divinized through the incarnation of the divine Son within her. She's already divinized right then and there. There's nothing that could prevent her divinization, right? And of course, then the Assumption is obviously going to follow. That's just like a logical consequence. Of course she's going to be glorified just as her son was glorified, because of course she has already, in a sense, inherited that same destiny through the son who she's conceived and given birth to. And of course the same thing, well, she's already part of the whole, mystical body of Christ. She's already a part of, the redemptive act of salvation through her assumption and through the conception of her son. I mean, what's the problem with mediatrics? It's just putting on a word which says what she's doing anyway. And what's wrong with calling her co-redemptrix? Because it's just putting a word to what she's doing anyway. Since the moment she was assumed, since the moment she conceived Jesus in her womb. So it's okay. They're just terms that talk about what happens if you really believe, what happens if God really did incarnate, the divine, self-consciousness of the Son, the divine person of the Son, in, the body of Mary. These are just like dominoes. It's just going to follow like that. And of course, the question is, well, why Mary? Why does she get this automatic exalted status to the conception of the divine Son within her womb? Why? Because she was humble. She was simple. She was obedient. She was compassionate, and therefore she was the reflection of the humble, simple love of God. And that's why God chooses her. And so it's humility, simplicity, obedience, surrender, and compassion at the end of the day that lead to exaltation, precisely as Jesus has defined it in the Gospels. Nothing mysterious. Just the logical consequences of love unbridled, simplicity and humility unbridled. A woman who literally has this cosmic significance that the book of Revelation or Apocalypse speaks about in today's first reading. A cosmic significance which is going to save the world through her utter littleness, her utter simplicity, her utter humility, her compassion, her obedience, her surrender. Well, that's the mystery of salvation and the mystery of love and the logic of love. And if you believe it, you may as well accept the whole package. Assumption, mediatrix, co-redemptrix,